2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
There's been a lot of discussion of late about the quiet quitting answer. Who's actually doing that? What does that look like? How do you change it? What's really driving it? But what comes next? And why does that matter? And we're really pleased to have joining us on the line from Europe today, Erica Schroeder, Executive Director of the R Street Institute, and a fantastic piece in Real Clear Markets. Quiet quitting isn't the answer. Passion that vanquishes burnout is. And I want to dive into that. Erica, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, let's dive into this. There's been a lot of chat about the quiet quitting piece. Give us a perspective of what that really looks like. What are we facing with quiet quitting?
Sure. So quiet quitting can mean a lot of things, but at its core, it's employees making a conscious effort and conscious decision to do less at work. So the natural consequence of this is less employee engagement, less commitment to your job, and that's why it's a worrying trend.
And it is so interesting. I have told business executives over the years that the real threat is not having a bad employee get mad and quit. The worst is for a good employee to become indifferent and stay. And you address some of that in your piece.
Yes, absolutely. I agree entirely.
And so what's the real answer to that? You kind of have the different schools of thought. You sort of have the old school model of, you know, firings will continue until morale improves. you say there's a little better path to deal with the quiet quitting problem.
I do. I think so. And, you know, we've tried a lot of things over the years. So we've been around for about 10 years. But we've landed on three primary solutions that really kind of work hand in hand. But the first is unlimited vacation. The second one is a 4-day work week that we couple with no meeting Fridays, so no internal meetings on Fridays.
Let's dig into each of those, and let's start with meetings. I am someone who believes that it better be a darn good meeting to replace no meeting at all. I actually once worked with a company out of Asia, and they actually had a rule on meetings that I thought was really interesting. They didn't have any meetings between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. So if you wanted to have a meeting, you had to have it before or after, and it had to be a stand-up meeting. And I thought that was an interesting way to go at it. But talk about how that impacts kind of this quiet quitting component in terms of meetings.
Absolutely. And actually, in our when we first started, we outlawed all meetings for the first 3 years. We had no standing meetings. So that was sort of ingrained in our culture that you really need to have an effective meeting. But during the pandemic, I think the accelerated shift to work from home, things kind of got out of whack. Remote work is great, but one of the downsides is that if you don't manage it carefully, there are definitely blurred boundaries between work life and home life. You start interacting constantly with colleagues on Zoom, and that is definitely a recipe for burnout and for quiet quitting. So the no internal meetings Fridays, we started that first, and it was such a success that we went to the 4-day work week. So we had one Friday with no internal meetings and the other Friday entirely off. Mm.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
And then, so as you look at how that gets down to, I think, what are the real core pieces of that, I want to kind of go back to this whole idea of indifference. I like the way you framed that in your piece. And how is it that we help people really connect to that purpose, that re-energizing component to work that some seem to have lost, whether that's the course of the pandemic or just kind of settling into status quo or mediocrity? How do we make sure we're igniting that spark?
Oh, that's a really great question. And I think it actually, it goes beyond the scope of this article. But I think we have to first start with a solid foundation. And every business can do this. Be explicit about the principles that you believe in. Continue to reinforce your values, your expected behavior. And then secondly, you need to imbue those principles, the values, the norms, with this people first mentality. So that those two things together will help you create a healthy culture that doesn't lead to burnout or quiet quitting. And I realize it's a bit easier for a mission-driven nonprofit like us because our people come in with a certain amount of drive for the mission built in. But it is an important thing that every business should do, and it is entirely doable.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. I always say that the culture eats strategy for breakfast. And we hear a lot about corporate strategy, corporate strategy, corporate strategy, and it's the culture that you just described that I think will eat any strategy for breakfast and really create that sustainability. Anything else that may be under the radar just a little bit in terms of ways to make sure that that culture is really continuing to fuel that passion within the organization?
So I would say one important thing that's often overlooked is building in a robust internal communication function. No matter, how big or small you are, you can prioritize internal communications. And that just means you create channels up and down and sideways and perpendicular, just making sure you're actually listening to your staff and that they're hearing you. And then also you can create symbols that you can all get behind.
Yeah.
One of our fun things that we do during onboarding is we ask staff to create a South Park avatar, and then we hang it in our office. So we're just constantly reinforcing our quirky culture.
I love that, Erica. These are such important things. I always say that the internal comms have to be every bit as sophisticated and robust as your external communication, whether that's to the press, whether that's to your guests or your clients or customers. And that in most organizations, we tend to under communicate internally by a factor of about 10. And I know a lot of organizations that it's probably more like a factor of 20. But this is such great stuff. Erica Schroeder is the executive director of the R Street Institute. This is how you combat quiet quitting, folks. You create this kind of culture, this kind of energy. And Erica, thanks so much for joining us from Europe today and staying up late.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful to talk to you today.
All right. Again, that's Erica Schroeder, executive director at the R Street Institute. They have created an amazing culture, very purpose-driven organization that keeps their people moving along, fully engaged. Remember, the biggest threat to any business is mediocrity or settling in or quiet quitting. And remember, it's not just about people getting angry and leaving. The worst thing is to have a great employee who becomes indifferent because of the culture and stays. Nothing will kill a business or an organization faster. All right, that wraps up hour number one of Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Much more to come after top of the hour news. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.